Whatever happened to repentance? Whatever happened to repentance? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for your pure and precious word that changes lives. For we are set free by truth alone. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. God, come on me. Holy Spirit, come on me. Let this word bring life. God, convict me. Convict every one of us. Convict us, O Lord, about this word that you've laid on my heart. Sanctify our ears to hear it. My God, your anointing has to come. Without your anointing, these words fall in front of me to the floor. My God, anoint it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Whatever happened to repentance? You hardly ever hear the word preached, even hear the word mentioned in churches today, even in Baptist and Pentecostal and evangelical churches. There's no call anymore for godly sorrow. There's no call for mourning for sin. Grief for wounding the heart of Jesus. Almost unknown in our churches today. And the message now is, just believe and thou shalt be saved. Just believe. Now that text is taken from Acts 16:31, when the jailer, after the jail was shaken and he thought the prisoners were gone, fell down and cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." But folks, I want you to know that that was said to a man who had a sword in his hand about to commit suicide. He was trembling and broken and at the feet of the apostles. He's already in a point of repentance and brokenness. Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." It says all you do is believe, baptize, and you're saved. But keep in mind now that that follows these words that Jesus spoke. Preach the gospel to every creature. In other words, the gospel first has to be preached. And what is that gospel? It's the same gospel Jesus and all the apostles taught. "I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance." That was the gospel of Jesus. This was the first message he preached when he came out of the wilderness. The very first words he spoke, Jesus said, and the scripture says, from that time he began to preach. And what was the message of the Lord Jesus Christ? What is the gospel that's preached before he that believeth is baptized shall be saved? It is simply this. From that time Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Scripture says Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and he follows with this, "The time is fulfilled, repent ye and believe the gospel." He preached repentance before believing. He said to the Galileans, "I tell you, except you repent, you all likewise perish. Believe what you will, unless you repent, you will perish." John the Baptist came on the scene to prepare the Jews for the coming of their Christ, their Messiah. And here's his simple, straightforward message. In that day, in those days, came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. And he said, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand." They came from everywhere to listen to John the Baptist. They came excited because they wanted to believe in the Messiah. But John says, "You're not ready." He said, "There's an axe has to be laid to the root." He said, "You're not ready. You want to come and you want to hold on to your sins and cling. Outside you're white and you look holy, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. That has to be dealt with before you can believe." "Repent," he said, "bring forth fruits in keeping with repentance. Prove that you're genuinely repentant, because Jesus is coming to save you from your sins." He said, "You're not ready to believe. You have no concept that you're a sinner. You don't even know where you stand. And you want the Messiah to come. You want Jesus to come. You want the Christ to come on the scene, and just believe Him and stay as you are." Peter, on the day of Pentecost, preached repentance. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They weren't told, just believe and you're saved. They were not told to make a decision for Christ. It was not a vote for Jesus. He said, flee from this wicked generation. And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of your sins. Now, when the word said by faith, yet until there was repentance and the acknowledging of sin before a holy God. This is the gospel of Paul the Apostle. Listen to his message to Athenians on Mars Hill. He said, God now commands men everywhere to repent. He saw these thousands of gods that they took by faith. All they did was believe. They believed this God. They believed that another God came. They believed someone else came, persuaded them. They believed it was faith and they accepted it in their sins. But Paul the Apostle said, no, that's not Christ. That's not what I preach. You can't add Him to your gods. He can't come to you just because you're going to believe another God. He said, my God commands that you repent, you look at your sins, you forsake your sins, and He'll come and give you the power to forsake them, but you've got to believe that this God, this Jesus, has come to save you from your sins. Before King Agrippa, Paul said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but showed first to them in Damascus, and then I showed it to Jerusalem, and to all the coast of Judea, and then I showed it to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. He said, not only did I preach in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the Gentiles, everywhere I went, I preached repentance, and not only repentance, I wanted a repentance that showed me they meant it, it was real, and that it would stick. Paul says, everywhere I go, that's what I preach. Now, what does it mean to repent? Let's talk about repentance. Some have said it's just a change in mind. In fact, one man said almost literally, he said, I'm so glad I know the Greek because I just discovered that the Greek meaning of repentance means just to change your mind. He didn't know his Greek. Because the real meaning of the word repent is to feel remorse, self-reproach for one's sins against God. It is to be contrite, sorry, and want to change direction. The sorrow, contrition, repentance is more than just a change of your mind. Paul said, for godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to repent it of. It's not sorrow, it's not repentance. It leads to repentance. The apostolic church preached unabashedly the message of Jesus and John, repent for the remission of your sins. And Paul even preached repentance to believers. And I believe in preaching repentance to believers. Years ago, I had around the country we call repentance conferences. And I will never do that again. Now I would call it Blessed Preachers Conference and they'd come. But they didn't want to come because nobody wanted to acknowledge they wanted to repent. Paul preached to believers in the church of Corinth. Here's a church body that had a lot of sin in it. And yet Paul said, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. But listen to what Paul said to all these blessed Christians who sat under a rich, full gospel. He said, I fear that when I come, I shall not find you like I should. He said, I'm afraid that when I come, things are not going to be right with you. He said, lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I should bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of their uncleanness and their fornication, their lasciviousness which they are committing. He said, I'm afraid that when I come to you, and he's talking about a church that was had the gifts of the Holy Ghost. These were people who talked in tongues. These were people who knew better. They had mighty teachers of the Word. They said, I'm afraid when I come among you, I'm going to find that many of you Christians are still cheating on your wives. You're fornicating. You're into sexual lust of all kinds. And he said, I'm going to walk around you absolutely in grief. He said, you're going to see an apostle with his head down, and you're going to see tears in my eyes, and I'm going to be broken because the gospel has not done its work in your heart. You have not repented. Somewhere along the line, they believed in Christ, but somewhere along the line, they didn't repent. They were still living in sin. And Paul's words have made me examine my own ministry, my own preaching lately. Listen to this sheep-loving shepherd of the church. He loved those compromising Christians in Corinth. They were still living in gross sin. Paul said to them, when I come, If I see you indulging, he said, I'm going to cry and wail. And here's where I'm having to examine my own heart in my preaching. I'm wondering sometimes if I've taken the scissors to certain parts of the Scripture and cut out that part of the gospel that puts a higher cost on following Jesus than I preached. I wonder if I've lowered the standard sometime, telling people, just believe and be saved. And now we evangelicals are leading masses of unrepentant people into a false peace. We're telling them that all that's required of them is come forward and say a little prayer and repeat, I'm sorry, I believe, and trust the Holy Ghost to give me power. And we've not insisted on godly sorrow and total repentance. We have aborted conviction for sin. We've jumped in and offered salvation to those who really did not repent. They were not sorry for their sins. They did not see the exceeding sinfulness of the sin. The law has not completed its work in their heart. And they only wanted faith so they could cover their sins. What awful exaggerators we've become. When we count those who get saved, you hear it from all over the world. People come from the mission field. Our people go out, and I've heard people go into a jail and say, everybody got saved. I've heard that and heard it. I spoke, everybody came for, everybody got saved. No, they didn't. It's an exaggeration. And it's wrong. What happened is that everybody came forward at your invitation. Everybody said the prayer you told them to pray. They didn't understand most of it. The work of the Holy Ghost was not complete. They were not told to repent, and they're going to go back to the sins. They were offered something that Christ Himself didn't offer. Salvation without repentance. We seem to have even removed feeling from conviction. You hardly ever see a tear in anybody's eye anymore when they come to Christ. Now, I know that tears can't save anybody. But I would think that some hell-bound sinner who's been convicted by the Word and know they've grieved Christ, there ought to be some kind of feeling of sorrow. God has made us human, we feel. Peter remembered when he betrayed Christ the words of Jesus who said, behold, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. And when he thought on these things, he wept. You talk about conviction. He went over the hills weeping and crying, I have betrayed Christ. There was a brokenness. There was a godly sorrow in him. You can't produce that in the flesh. You can't sit in this church and say, well, if that's what it takes, I'm going to get it, and you try to work it. If you can't work it, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. But God says if you ask for the Holy Spirit, He'll give it to you, and He will come and produce that conviction and godly sorrow in you. The Puritans were the most godly preachers on earth. I love reading the Puritans. I don't agree with much of their doctrine, but I love their emphasis on holiness. And they called their preaching deep plowing. And they believed that you couldn't sow seed into the ground until it was deeply plowed. And their preaching plowed so deep that it produced a cry in the hearts of the people, and out of it came the strongest Christians in the history of earth. Today it seems like we're doing nothing but sowing and no plowing. There's no digging deep with the convicting preaching. Deep plowing is actually preaching about the cause of your disease. Most of our preaching today is just about remedies, and we ignore the disease. We're offering prescriptions without surgery. We make people think they're healed of sin when they didn't even admit they were sick. We're offering robes of righteousness on people who never knew they were naked. We're telling people to believe when they don't even know they have anything or any cause to believe. Because they've not been convicted. Oh, I'm all right. I'll just add Jesus to the scene. C.H. Spurgeon, great, powerful English preacher, preached a famous sermon in London on July 31st, 1881. And this is what he said. He said, I trust that sorrowful penitence does still exist, though I don't hear much about it anymore. People seem to jump into faith very quickly nowadays. I hope my old friend repentance is not dead. I'm desperately in love with repentance. It seems to be the twin sister of faith. I do not myself understand much about dry-eyed faith. When I came to Christ, I came by way of weeping cross. When I came to Calvary by faith, it was with great weeping and supplication, confessing my transgressions and believing in full salvation in Jesus Christ alone. When this church was founded 12 years ago, for the first 2 or 3 years, we preached nothing but repentance. We preached the law. And we had to come to that because we had people coming to this altar, at this church, and saying, I believe, but they weren't changed. Their lives were not changing. Some were actors here on Broadway, and they were here raising their hands, praising the Lord, and then the next week they were back into their shows. And many of them that were wicked, vile shows. There were people who were still cheating. There were people living in sin. Homosexuals thought they could come to this church and still indulge in homosexuality. And Lord laid hold. I remember how God spoke to my heart. God said, this has to be cleansed. This has to be pure. They're not being convicted of their sins. And from this pulpit, there was holy thunder. I preached hell so hot, people ran out of here, remember? We preached heaven, real. We preached the law. We began to expose sin. And people would run out or run to the altar. Those who ran out, backslid, many of them are dead now. Others that responded to the gospel of law and then came to the grace of God, like David Davis, who left his theater and now he's pastoring in Israel. He'll tell you that it was that revelation of true repentance, total whole repentance, that changed his life. Folks, there's no salvation other than by faith. We're saved by faith alone. But there has to be the plowing of the Holy Spirit. There has to be conviction for sin. There has to be a godly sorrow. And some of you, if you came up here and you prayed a sinner's prayer,
And you said, I pray the Holy Ghost come down. I'm not putting that down, but I'm telling you, if you're living in, if you're still living in sin, if you're still sitting and watching pornographic movies, if you're gossiping and lying and cheating, if you're still living in sin in your life, if why you stand here now before your pastor and you're not an open book and there's sin in your life and you know it, then chances are you did not truly repent. And now is the time. It's never too late. Repent. I beg of you, as Jesus preached and as Paul and John and Peter and all the apostles and the whole apostolic church upon which we are founded. Repent. Repent of your sins and say, God, I'm sorry. I am living in sin and I can't hide it anymore. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. And I'm telling you now, if you're living in sin, you're damned. He's merciful. He'll forgive you. But if you repent, he'll say, Lord, I'm sorry for wounding you. I'm sorry for the way I've been living. I've been living a double life. Oh, he's great mercy. When you say, that's me. Oh, Pastor, that's me. I tell you that my blessed Savior would send the Holy Ghost with such sweet offers of forgiveness and empowerment and adornment to everything that you need. But first, there has to be an acknowledgement. I'm not where I should be and I'm not what I should be. I am living a lie. And if you're willing to admit that this morning, I tell you, He will plant the tree of life right in the middle of your soul. And you will eat life and drink of the Holy Spirit. And you'll be transformed as you should have been when you first came.